Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Welcome to the Ad News Podcast. You guys probably haven't heard from me before. My name is Nicola Riches, the associate publisher of Ad News. I don't normally get wheeled out for these kind of things, leaving it to our more expert journalists. But on this occasion, I thought I would make a little appearance. And today I am interviewing Melissa Matheson, editor of Goat, and Kane Reekin, who is commercial director of Goat. Is that right, Kane?
Correct.
That's your title?
Yes, digital commercial director, correct.
Fantastic. So we're here today to talk about the one-year anniversary of Goat. Goat's been in the market for 1 year now. And Melissa, as editor, came from a strong journo background, so working across News Corp and Telegraph, and was editor of MX Sydney. And Kane has been working on Goat for the last 2 years, not just as commercial director in the last year, but in the year previous, actually working on the build of the product. His background was at the Daily Mail here, Daily Mail in the UK. He's also worked agency side, so he knows both sides of the fence. So, just to kick off, guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Shall we go back to the very beginning and the launch of Goat and talk about what Nova's intention was and what the purpose of launching Goat was? Kane, can you
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having us. Great to be here. Really exciting. I think for us with Goat, it was really identifying an opportunity for us to further extend our influence and also understand the relationships we already currently have with millennials. So across our Nova Entertainment ecosystem, we reach 1.88 million millennials every single week. And for us, it was really looking at how can we build on that relationship, continue that conversation with different digital platforms, which enable us to kind of build out our ecosystem. We know the world's going digital. For us, we have really strong radio brands in Nova and Smooth, but we understand the future needs to be in the digital space. So really investing, trying, and being able to create complementary businesses that kind of work against our total ecosystem.
Sure. And tell us about, I think you said, talking before, that there was some research that you guys did into this market that you have flagged some interesting things and kind of propelled you into launching this. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So before we undertook this project, we did a three-part research study to really understand the behaviours of millennials, how they read content, how they share content, and also what they expect from publishers. On the back of that, yeah, as you say, some really interesting insights, which really kind of identified the opportunity for us. It was in both parts, I guess, the opportunity as a consumer in terms of what we could deliver for a reader experience or a listening or a viewing experience, but also understanding the opportunity, I guess, with advertisers and brands. We kind of identified that there was a gap in the market for more integration into publishers and giving brands a greater opportunity to access and influence our audience. So it was two-part, and I think from that insight and research that we've seen, you get the product that is today, and obviously sure, continuing to evolve and learn, but yeah. We're really excited to where it's come so far.
So when we were talking earlier, we were just talking about, you know, just some bits and pieces that would feed into this podcast. And what the first thing obviously that struck me with the name Go is, you know, it not that it has any particular connotations, but you automatically smirk when you hear goat. Yeah, obviously being greatest of all time. What was the theory behind this?
Yeah, so a lot of people do think it's greatest of all time, but it's actually not. That's not the meaning for it. So I think, as you do with any new brand, you identify the market, you Google, you kind of see what words are available, and it's one of those pieces where it's got to be a domain name that's available, it's got to be available to purchase alongside a brand that doesn't have any kind of related kind of brands in market. So there's a full step process to go through, and we did the typical thing of like what words are kind of in vogue at the moment, what could be a longer term brand, and comparing to the main competitive set, and we really landed on goat. There was a few other ones as well. I think gritty was one at one stage, juice. So we had a number of different brands which we actually tested as part of our brand insight study. But goat really stood out for me in terms of just initially coming up as the group for these the initial words, but also in the research it really stood out, I think, in terms of the brand identity, which we wanted to attach to it.
And no one had bought goat.com.au, no?
No, which is obviously a key part. So
a goat farmer, perhaps.
Maybe. We did the job. So I actually emailed, I think it was the domain register, to find out who owned that domain, and got onto a guy, and it ended up that person actually lived in Antarctica at the time. So we bought the domain off maybe a goat farmer in Antarctica. I don't know if they do that.
I don't know. Goats are capable of many things. Maybe they can live. Who knows?
Yeah, it might have been a goat who I was emailing. But so getting that obviously secured it, looking at kind of the trademarking as such as well. But we're really happy that we ended up getting it. I think it is quite distinct in terms of the competitive set. It's quite a shortened name, you can say. It's got connotations in a few pop culture ways. So it's got a lot of extensions, I think, which makes it exciting for us moving forward.
Yeah, sure. And as I said, it's that smirk that you get when you just, I don't know why it makes you smirk, but it does.
Goats run the internet. If you look at kind of YouTube videos and things, they're on everything at the moment. Yeah. So we're going to piggyback.
I do remember driving through Morocco once and seeing goats in trees.
Yeah, great.
And thinking, oh my God, how the hell do they get up there?
We're an agile bunch.
Yeah, it is. It's an agile creature, a goat, isn't it? Which is a good thing for you. So in terms of the editorial proposition then, I think your very name defines in some respects your editorial position. Mel, I think you could probably talk about this. And, you know, coming to go, I think when you look at the kind of news proposition and the way that you present your news, it's done in such a defined way. And what made you think that you would be the right person to deliver this? What was it in your background that you thought, yeah, I can hit that sweet spot?
I think I learned a lot on my time at MX. That mix of news and pop culture and entertainment, but that sense of humour that can complement news. It doesn't have to, they don't have to compete. You can enjoy humour and
that's
side
quite
of
new,
life.
Isn't it? That's quite a new phenomenon, I think. I think maybe in the sort of private eye way back in the day, or that, you know, that kind of thing, but that kind of that melding of serious news with that irreverent, humorous angle is a new thing.
It's
it feels that way.
I think it's a sense of fun that comes through from the millennial audience, that they're not one-dimensional. They want a greater depth, a human sense to most of these stories, and that's a big part of the day-to-day editorial direction, is that there's got to be that human connection. And whether that's through the sense of humour, the tone, or the story selection. But the biggest thing for us is that when I came on board, I gave the team the directive, or the motto of, borrowed from Barack Obama, fired up but not just angry. So I don't know if you've seen his video.
No.
There's a lovely animation to his story of why he uses the term, are you fired up, so much. And it's this idea that no matter how, I suppose, broken you see the world or whatever, if you're fired up, you can get some change happening.
Mm.
Whereas if you're just angry, you just sit there and wallow in that anger.
Yeah.
So it's what can we do to fix things?
Yeah, sure.
What is the problem? Let's try and find some solutions. It goes back to sort of my community journalism days, where it was like, It was very much the solution journalism. There's no point just saying there's a huge pothole in this main street. Okay, what are we going to do about it? Or there's no air conditioning in a lot of the public schools. What are we going to do about it? No point just whinging it's 45 degrees in the classroom.
Yeah.
What can be done?
Yeah.
So it's very much a moving forward, constant moving forward, and not sort of just complaining.
Tell us about how the editorial desk work. Like, how many are on the team, and you know, what kind of who's making those kind of choices on the news? Are you chasing a news agenda that already exists, or are you creating your own news agenda? I mean, how does it work?
So it's a bit of a mix. We have the general motto theory is sassy, smart, and one step ahead. So we're always looking for that second story from the initial breaking, if you will. So where is the conversation going rather than where is it right now? So jumping on the next phase of the cycle before everyone else has.
Yeah.
So taking a bit of a breather, going, okay, what is happening? Where is this going to go? We're going there first, not this has just happened sort of thing. We have the full-time team is 3 full-time writers, 2 full-time video producers. Having said that, the video producers also are great writers. So very lucky in that. And then we have a team of freelancers. So some who work part-time for us, others who just do individual pieces. But the idea is to get a broad mix of voices in there. And then day-to-day, we all jump on and workshop ideas. So we workshop story, story selection, headlines, images. It's very much a team effort. It's not me sitting there going, yes, no, do better. It's it's very much a team experience. And I think that sort of harks back to what I loved most about MX. The team I led, that it was very team orientated. You know, I did bounce off ideas from the other journos and from the photographic team, and it was very much a collaboration. And I think it not only encourages enthusiasm within the team, but also gets a more holistic product. You don't end up with a single voice and a single vision. It's very much a team and a mix of voices and
your and your audience, which is, I mean, obviously it would have grown over the last year. In what ways are they engaging with you on an editorial level? So what opportunities do they have to do that?
So we people can pitch ideas to us.
Yeah.
We also have within Nova, the Nova Entertainment Group, they can staff can pitch ideas if they've got an experience they want to share. A video idea they want to share, they can come to us and pitch the idea. They get paid. So we are very big on freelancers get paid.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, slave labor, work for free sort of thing. So that I think is a big standout. There's not a lot of players in the market who do that. And it is really important because it sets a certain standard of what we expect.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's interesting as well, because although we talk about GOAT being a millennial product, I find this really interesting because there was a radio station that launched in the UK that was completely targeted at my sort of Gen X demographic. And I wondered, like, are they going to just grow old with me? Is that what's going to happen? And then what happens to people coming up, you know, who are younger than me? Will they be tuning in? Will they end up ultimately losing their audience when we all end up in a retirement home or, you know, worse? Like, you know. And I'd, to be honest with you, when I listen to that radio station, I don't really hear them sort of keeping up and bringing in that new audience. I think they're still stuck playing, you know, probably not as bad as Pearl Jam or anything like that, but probably somewhere around there. So how does it work for you guys? Like, are you completely honed in on that millennial audience, or how do you capture those Gen Xers and beyond and those younger, obviously, who are coming up?
I think the biggest thing is it's not just focusing on an age group, but a state of mind, that it's the appreciation of humour and cheek in the world, while also learning about the world, and that while, yes, it's largely in the millennial bracket that they jump on that, there's also people outside of that who are interested in that tone. But I think the biggest thing with any media product is that you have to be adaptable. You can't be set in your ways and be like, this is what we're always going to be. It's you have to move with the times, with the audience. You have to be constantly aware of what's going on. You just can't be stuck in cement. Mm. You've got to move.
Have there been any surprises? I mean, Ken, you might talk about this a little bit. Any surprises in the, you know, what you've learned about your audience over the last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we get so much feedback from our audience. We adopt an off-platform strategy, which I think is quite a modern way for publishing. So we're open to...
Explain that a little
bit. So really open to sharing our content and having it live on platforms where our audience are already engaging. I think it's really difficult sometimes to bring audience to your own domain or whatever. Obviously, that should be the end goal. But as we're in a growing phase, we're willing to kind of work with on the different platforms to get people reading our content. So we're across a number. We're producing a number of different pieces of content outside of just written articles. So a big part of our output's cartoons, which is quite unique in market. And they get so much engagement, so much sharing on the different social platforms, and really create debate, which we love to see as well. Additionally, with our content that we are producing, the editorial team also produce the commercial stuff as well. So that's quite new, I guess, in terms of publishers. Mm. I know a few other publishers and marketers are adopting a similar kind of stance at this stage. And for us, I think it's really believing that these guys know the audience best. They're in the best position to make commercial content seem as integrated, as native as possible for our audience.
Yeah, sure.
So it's for us, it's been really successful, this model, and our clients love it, and obviously the audience love it too. So it's those little differences, I think, is what we've learnt so much about the audience. We are constantly learning and constantly evolving. I think from what it is today to what it's going to be tomorrow is always different. And we've always got that mentality of those small changes to make the product better. And everyone's involved, right from the content team to the product team to the commercial team. Mm. So it's a great team effort.
So explain to me, as an advertiser, what is available to me on Goat? What's the inventory?
Great question. Love this one. So we are a little bit different, I guess, from other publishers, but there's probably elements that are the same. So we have the kind of the standard branded articles, obviously written by the content team. Where we've really tried to innovate is providing brands a greater integration into the core offering of our product.
Okay.
So what some of the insights shown to us in terms of our research and also just our market intel is that display assets that are either static or just standard display assets don't do anything to change opinion preference for millennials. It's not enough these days just to do a static kind of display campaign. You need more. And so we've really tried to ensure that our product suite is really different. We focus on high impact, interactive video-led formats. We, for example, have interactive skins, which accompany native articles. We have unique formats like our header integration. So within the logo, the Goat logo at the header on the top of the page, you can interact with brand messaging within that.
Interesting.
Some really interesting formats. Yeah. We've got a ticker as well, which runs across our homepage, which allows brands to integrate too. We have a product called a pop-up branded channel, which allows a brand to have a completely owned, modular designed kind of house for all their content, which we produce for a brand.
Yeah, okay.
And you also get a vanity URL as well. So that's goat.com.au/brand.
Yeah.
We love kind of influencer activity as well. So using diverse voices as part of our editorial strategy, getting those guys involved. Video production, obviously. Cartoons have been, as I mentioned before, a really big part of our output as well.
Mm.
And also social amplification across all our different platforms. Mm. So it's a really flexible model, I think, the commercial side of things. We have guaranteed performance as well across all our campaigns.
Wow, okay.
So the content we're producing,
full on.
We stand behind it and we know it works.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but we've seen success so far and we're really excited.
That's great. That's massive commitment, isn't it? Absolutely massive commitment. I love the idea as well at the top with your where your logo sits up there, having some kind of integration there, because that would have been absolutely unheard of. Well, it probably still is in some quarters. Like, there is no messing with that, you know. But the fact that you're willing to kind of take that sort of integration on. Kane, can you talk about maybe a couple of campaigns that you've run this year that you've, where you have pushed the boundaries and they have been really successful for you?
Yeah, fantastic. So we've had some really good clients on board so far, and I love clients willing to try a new platform. I think it's hard these days to introduce something new into the marketing media landscape because people kind of buy what they're used to, and, and we've been really fortunate and really proud of what we've done so far. So a really diverse group of clients have come on board so far from a number of different verticals, which is great to see the confidence in the platform. Everything from finance, FMCG, entertainment, two which have been really great in my eyes has been most recently EA Games, who have come on board and did a complete buyout of the platform just recently, and it was promoting their new Apex Legends product, which has just gone gangbusters, and it just looked amazing. So the header integration we touched on before, having kind of all their characters within the back, a really great high impact format, but really respectful to the user experience. We have a format called the Bold Banner, which sits at the bottom third of the page, 100% viewable, but really interactive. So the client provided us with like standard assets, which we then provide production services to. So having kind of smoke effects on the characters as well to give it that real dynamic feel, included kind of article production as well, video production, just a really effective campaign. All the results from it so far have been over delivery in terms of our guaranteed performance. And we just thought it was a great campaign all in all. Excellent. So that was been a real favorite of mine.
Yeah.
Additionally, Hewitt Packard as well, from Sydney, PhD, a really great campaign which touched on a number of our core assets from our total ecosystem. And it's something that I think is the power in terms of Nova Entertainment with all our different core products. So that includes the Nova Broadcast, our podcasting product with a partnership with Acast, and also GOAT as the complementary service. So basically, the campaign was all about their cartridges, which are now kind of environmentally friendly. They had a sustainability message around targeting millennials. So we did a full kind of takeover on GOAT. So that's like the high impact formats, the header integration. We had a bold, a pop-up branded channel, which housed loads of content from influencers and also our content team. Mm-hmm. We also did an activation down at the Maritime Museum. Our street team is called the GOAT Kids, which is obviously a great name extension. So having those guys on the ground, that brand in hand experience is a really core part of our overall story.
Yeah.
And then the podcasting side of things is such a big part of our to market product now. So just in March had 18.1 million listens in the month, which is 5.8 million uniques.
Wow, so that's an incredible number.
The numbers are incredible. They've been growing month on end. And being able to use that network and that established audience to amplify activity. So a lot of that with Osher Gunsberg was one of our key influencers for the campaign.
Yeah.
So we sponsored his podcast, and he also did some other activity around the package as well. So a really great cross-platform, one single idea across our full ecosystem. And we had an effectiveness study come back recently, and the results are fantastic. So
yeah,
a really great brand to work with, one who's willing to adopt new platforms, and some great success. So,
It's an interesting position for you guys as well, because there's certainly an education, isn't there, around what you're doing in terms of the online opportunity and the digital opportunity, which sort of is very different to anything else that you'd find in market. But obviously it's been, really well received.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In terms of the podcasting side of it, I take it there are GOAT podcasts. podcasts that go out?
Yes, we started with a politics one, which we're bringing back for the election.
Oh, wow, okay.
But yes, moving forward, we'll have a lot more of our own, but we can tap into the Acast collection as well.
Right, okay. Tell us a little about the Acast setup and situation.
Yes.
I don't know a massive amount about that, to be honest.
So together, we are Australia's biggest audio marketplace. We are number one in terms of total size, and I think in terms of the content we have across the platform is leading as well. So everything, since being partners with Acast now, I think it must be over 24 months, I think so. I always used to say 18 months, but I felt like I kept saying that every single month. So the timings have changed. But it's been a fantastic relationship. We work really well. They're in our office here. They sit in the Sydney office.
Yeah.
And for us, it's all about content. So Acast are constantly signing new publishers onto the platform.
Yeah.
BBC, obviously, internationally. They represent them here. So we work with them as their official kind of sales house to take it to market. Alongside that, we have our own content, which we're always producing. Just recently, and coming to market really soon, is the Andrew Denton interview podcast. So that's a relationship that we've formed with himself and also his production arm.
Yeah.
So working to kind of build out that new product. Additionally, News Corp and Police Tape.
Yeah, I saw this.
Really great podcast.
That's an interesting tie-up between you two.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're the leaders in I guess, audio, and those guys are great storytellers. So
yeah, of course.
I think it's a really great relationship, and that's hosted by Merrick, which is awesome as well.
Yeah.
And a lot more to come from that relationship. So for us, it's just really about understanding what our audience wants and producing products and that kind of resonate and also answer in the audio space. So it's exciting times.
Yeah. And so you're talking about the politics podcast, obviously, given that an election has just been called. Mm-hmm. So interesting news day for you, Mel. Sorry, I'm probably just taking you away on one of
them. We're already on it.
It's the busiest news day of the year and you're in here with us.
It's been a long time coming.
It has been a long time coming, hasn't it? They were eking it out, weren't they? So in terms of your political podcast and it's interesting, like, who would host that and how also you would bring a variety of voices into GOAT as well. So how does that work exactly?
So the podcast will be hosted this time by Michelle Stevenson, our news director from Nova Entertainment.
Okay. Yeah.
So she'll be the main host. And then we'll be having a variety of voices both within the team and politicians.
Yeah,
so
okay.
A broad spectrum of politicians.
Right.
But the big focus is I wanted it to be issues-based rather than policy and point scoring and all that. It's going to be here are the big issues that affect millennials.
Yes.
We're going to deep dive and we are going to try and find some solutions.
Yeah, okay.
So things like diversity, both within parliament and in business and in the media, youth employment, tech. Is a huge industry, sometimes undervalued from the wider public, but you know, that includes NBN. Where is that going? What, you know, how is that impacting on young people? But then, you know, we've got things like, what do we want from our leaders? What do we expect from a political leader in this day and age? We're going out to millennials and asking them those questions as well. So they will have voice on the podcast.
Yeah, great. Okay.
So it's not just us banging on. It'll be actual young people voicing their opinions.
Does that irreverent tone, not irreverent, because irreverent suggests a sort of a non-caring attitude, but that kind of humorous tone of voice, would that be carried through on those, do you think? Or is there times where you go, okay, hold on a minute, this is really serious stuff now, so.
I think we know when to draw the line.
Yeah, okay.
But there is definitely humour in politics. There are some great characters that you just sometimes you just sit back and applaud. You couldn't write it.
No, you couldn't.
So I think knowing that line, we do, you know, there are very serious issues that we will you know, we'll treat with, you know, use some gifts and things like that that really speak to the sort of that sort of character quirks of the story. But yes, we do discuss the serious issues without overstepping the mark where it's just taking the piss, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
But there will be some comedy special within the podcast. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, excellent.
But there will be some cheek, excellent. Appropriate cheek.
So when we, and so we're talking obviously about podcasts being a very nice sort of extension of Goat. Are there any other sort of brand extensions planned at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something we're constantly working on. For us, it's been about establishing the brand and getting that kind of recall and awareness. But I think to stay alive in this day and age, you have to keep looking at other platforms. Audio is obviously an easy one for us, being experts and being doing it for so long with Nova Entertainment. Smart speakers has obviously been the next step for us after podcasts. So really looking at that experience, that conversational kind of tone that's required in terms of working with smart speakers. So how does the GOAT news, the debrief, what does that look like on a smart speaker? And it's something that we're workshopping at the moment, which I think is a really nice space for us.
Yeah, so a case of someone can wake up in the morning and say, hey Google, hey Alexa, give me the GOAT debrief.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then it's also how you monetize that as well. I don't, you know, how you attach a commercial value to that. That's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't even know if anyone's even achieved that yet.
I don't think so either. And I think it's an exciting space because I think a lot of searching now is coming onto to voice. I think the latest stat I've seen is 20-25% is now voice search across Google. So it's a space that we'd love to be a major player in, and just looking at what's our right moment of the day, when's that time do we have that relationship with the user, and how can GOAT play a part of that? I think that's exciting. We just recently launched our first Alexa skill with Nova, so you can now ask Alexa to play the Nova streams in all the cap cities, alongside giving feedback on the track that's played, or even asking who was the artist and song. So
okay,
a first
great.
Step for us, but obviously a journey we really want to be a part of, and also bring brands involved as well. So we're doing a number of workshops at the moment with some of our key partners to really work out what that opportunity looks like for brands to be involved in our smart speaker
because
journey.
In some ways the brands are almost dependent on guys like you bringing that voice capability to life, I think, because it's actually quite a scary proposition for a brand. Because we were talking about this at an event we hosted recently with one of the guys from Deloitte, who was saying, you know, the issue is that you will be shopping using voice, but you won't be naming the brand of the product that you require. So brands will fight to somehow get into this space. So I think it is really interesting. Like, so much will happen over the next couple of years there, but they will definitely have to kind of jump onto products such as this to make it work for them.
I agree. And I think even like Apple, Amazon and Google, they are still working out their commercial model too.
Yes,
so for
yeah.
Google, having the search links has been such a big part of their overall revenue. But now looking for maybe one recommendation in an audio request, how do you monetize that? Is it a bidding system? So I know they're doing loads of work somewhere trying to work that out. So we're trying to somehow predict what they're doing and also create an opportunity for us to leverage our relationship. And we talk a lot about the kind of connected experience. So someone having using broadcast in a way for that immediacy, the relationship with the announcers on air in their car or whatever, how does that relationship then continue from the different devices when they get into the office, they're listening, streaming, are they also at home kind of asking for something different, a different experience or a news update? So how can Nova Entertainment, with all our different brands and products, be a part of that journey throughout the day for our consumers?
I think the big thing for me, and having worked in print, digital, TV, radio, I think the no matter what, which platform you're in, which company, what you have to follow the audience. You have to listen to the audience and work out where they are and what platforms they're using and how they consume media. You can't fight it. They are the core. And if you disrespect the audience, you're done.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to they are at the forefront of everything. And that goes for the advertising side, the editorial side.
Yep.
You have to listen to them. So the way I sort of treat the GOAT, you know, goat.com.au as a daily habit is treating it like the pub briefing. So if you're heading into the pub, we're going to give you a curated curiosity of all the things people are talking about before you head to the bar, so you don't sound like a twat. You have a few talking points, kind of like how politicians get their briefing papers. You're going to have, here are the hot topics, a little bit, some humour, you'll be fine in the bar. You won't, you know, you can, oh yeah, saw that, or what about this viral video, or I heard about that policy, or, you know, so it's being on top of things, but you don't have to be overwhelmed.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And it is important, isn't it, about understanding your audience. I mean, I guess you guys would try and understand for your main core readership what their journey is throughout the day, their listening habits, what time of day it is that they would be checking in with you. Have you seen any interesting patterns there at all? I just, you know, is it that people are on the traveling in the morning and they're checking in with you? Or sort of downtime in the evenings and, you know,
a lot of evenings.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, evenings are really strong for us.
Oh, really?
At the moment, we are mobile first products. So it's very much around that snackable mobile daily habit. So I think that's impacted a lot of the insights we've seen. But evenings are really strong. And I think it's people dual screening, people also having a bit more time to engage, probably catching up on shared links and articles that your friends have been sending through the day. And I think for us, it's about just owning those moments. Do you know what I mean? Like being really focused on, we're happy to have this moment of the day for someone to come and check us out and read three or two articles or whatever.
Yeah.
And having that relationship rather than being something for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the most exciting.
Does that inform what you're delivering at certain times? Do you hold back on things and go, do you know what, we'll go at 7 o'clock tonight on that?
Or? With video and things like that, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. When they're sort of, if they can hold, yes. But if there's breaking news or it's a big story, we jump on it straight away with sort of element. We wouldn't hold it for hours.
Yeah.
But it is being mindful of how the audience behaves. You know, what time do we put certain Instagram posts up? But video in particular, because you need someone to be paying attention for, you know, a minute or whatever, you can't push where they're if they're going to be online or not. There's no point putting it out at 2 o'clock in the morning when they're asleep. The evenings are when we get in the most engagement, and so it's also being mindful we have to watch the comments. So
yeah, of course.
So
you've got the moderators.
It's like, largely me just checking that, you know, we want a healthy discussion. It's also like seeing if the audience were just like, no, totally don't agree with you there. We need to be mindful of that. But you ideally want a 50-50. You want both sides of the conversation. That's a healthy debate.
Yeah, that's right.
So when we get those moments, that's like perfect.
Yeah. I always find it amusing when I read certain news sites and they'll say, moderators have stopped, we're closing comments. It's like, okay.
Yeah, nice.
ouch. Yeah. Okay, so we were talking about brand extensions, and I was also interested in sort of GOAT's integration with music and Nova's heritage, obviously, in music. Is that likely to go anywhere?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we've highlighted from day one. Music is such a part of the heritage of our business, and we do so much in terms of our Red Room executions and also just our output on air. We've done a few little test projects so far to kind of understand like what that looks like. How different is it from the Nova core audience? What type of music does our GOAT audience like? And we've got a number of developments we're working on now. So watch out for this year. I guess the first point for us is just looking at how do we support a Nova Red Room? And that's probably the first step for us is like, what can we do to really empower that? Because it's such a great execution and a part of our ecosystem already. And then what is the GOAT Red Room look like, and what experience is that? What type of music is it? Do we use other partners? What does the brand and commercial messaging look like as well? And it could be everything from different video series, which we're currently workshopping, to live events, pop-up events, or more kind of white labels. So
fascinating.
It's really exciting, and we know millennial audiences, our audience as well. Music is such a key part of that, and it'd be crazy for us to not to dive straight in. So, but we're just being reserved at this stage to get it right. And obviously we'll throw everything at it because it's such a big part.
We've had some really positive activations. We had O Week at a couple of universities in Sydney and Melbourne, and we were at TEDx Youth last week. So that was, TEDx was really interesting. We have a series, a video series called GOAT Confessionals. And so it's asking people, whatever the topic might be, we've done your best, worst backhanded compliments. to when we were at the universities, it was how do you survive on minimum wage?
Yes.
So it's these questions of getting a diverse range of voices. But TEDx was fascinating. Like, we had really great response from these young people. It was purely aimed at 30s and under. And just a lot of teenagers who were have some great ideas, like really great. So one of the key questions we asked them was, what would your TED Talk be on?
Yeah.
Because everyone jokes that they've got their own TED Talk up their sleeve. But these kids had great answers. Like, yeah, really, they want to fix things. And I think that's
very
really
switched on. Yeah.
It's just not, you know, giving up. There's this, like, taking the reins and, like, you know what? We will fix it. We will figure out how to get this done. We're not just going to sit there and complain.
Back and moan. Yeah.
And that was a really good partnership where we just went, not only good branding, but it was great to talk to them directly and have that presence and hear what they had to say. I was surprised. Sometimes it can be daunting asking people to go on camera and share their thoughts,
yes,
and feelings, but it was really uplifting.
Yeah, that's
really
great.
Really great ideas.
Yeah, that's a really lovely positive message as well, because, yeah, it's, you know, we live in strange times. So, that's good to hear. It's excellent. I thought we'd finish up. So I think we've spoken quite a lot on, and as I said, this is a pretty busy news day for you. So the final thing that I wanted to ask is about the cartoons. Who draws them?
So we have a mix.
Okay.
We have a mix that cover everything from your more sort of traditional politics or news events to one of our illustrators, Justine Morrison, looks at the quirkier side of life. And so she has this lovely style that she's done, like your star signs based on Aussie snacks that went gangbusters. She's looked at pop culture. So there's been Broad City, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She participated in International Women's Day week. One day's not enough. We had a whole week.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of, it's that mix of news, pop culture and conversation. Mm. And the cartoons really hit on that.
Mm. I think you should do a gallery exhibition of them. I think
they're
so
beautiful.
Good.
Some
they're
of them
so
make great tea towels.
Yeah, they would. Or a goat calendar of the best cartoons or something. Like,
posters.
That's your brand extension right there, isn't it?
And
calendars, goat calendars.
I love that. I'd buy
prices.
Three. Yes.
I know.
I think brands are really understanding now that kind of visual storytelling is really important. And, we've had a number of brands come on platform now with cartoons. And
oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. I think
exactly.
A couple of universities have done it, and it just really cuts through when you think about it, like having that kind of subtle branding in a visual way that a cartoon kind of represents is, I think, a really interesting space to play, and we can kind of facilitate that as well, and we love the visual side of things. We've got a great guy in our team, Jamison, who does, he's amazing on Photoshop, and I always walk past his desk to see what he's working on. I think, is that work or is that not? It looks too fun. But he just creates really fun imagery which cuts through, and I think it helps us in terms of our social amplification.
Yeah.
Alongside just making the site feel really dynamic and fresh.
Yeah.
And so it's a really big part of our overall story.
We've really got Instagram to thank for that, I think, haven't we? You know what I mean? Because, like, I always, having been a journalist just before just at the time of the dot-com boom, and then moving into dot-com boom, and people saying we lost so much of the kind of visual aspect when everything moved online. And I think we did, but thankfully, thanks to Instagram, we're kind of shifting a little bit back to that.
I think that's
a really lovely thing, isn't it?
And that's a real focus for us with every one of our stories. We're workshopping the imagery, the headline, the push on social media, everything. So the whole team gets their say on it. And sometimes it's like, hey, we could tweak that photo. We can make it ours.
Yes.
We want to stand out. We want to be different. We don't want to run with the stock images or the, you know, the general news shots of a presser that have been run 1,000 times over. We want to stand out. So where we can, we really harness that. We jump on it and have some fun with it.
And I'd say even the headline for me is a visual way as well. And I think our headline's quite different from the competitors. It's much longer and we kind of give all the information. There's always a humor angle to it. And having that together, the visual kind of imagery, the hero imagery alongside the cell and the headline, the package together for me is the visual bit that I think is most important. impressive from us. And it's amazing with the headlines. Some of the stuff that the content team come up with are amazing.
Yeah, I know, they're very good.
It really does sell the article. And I think it's critical these days when people have such minimal time to allow for any additional attention. You have to cut through in a way that's familiar, it's the right tone of voice, and also hitting the marks that we have on social.
Yeah. So just to wrap up then, Kane, so what is commercially, what does the next year look like? What are you looking forward to and how's it shaping up?
Yeah, looking really good. We're ahead of our expectations in terms of audience numbers also commercially. So I think we're in a really great position. Been lucky to have a really welcoming board right from the get-go in trusting us to build a different product and kind of diversifying our digital assets. So it's been great in that way. I think for us, it's really just focusing down on more efficiencies across the platform, constantly growing in terms of the executions and the offers, the products we're offering to market, really working closely with our agency partners and direct clients to deliver what they want and make sure we have successful campaigns, bring more brands onto the platform, work with the content team closer to create great content. I think it's going to be a really exciting year. So look forward to the next year in 12 months when we do another podcast.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again in 12 months.
I'd love to.
And see where we're at in 12 months' time. What about you, Mel? What about you for the next year? There's some big things coming up, like, you know, locally and issues wise. There's a lot happening.
Definitely. I think the thing that inspires me each day is watching my team constantly push the boundaries and they're enthusiastic and the way that they all work together and that they genuinely care for each other in a team. And I don't think you always get that. And so that's really nice for me to come to work and see them all pull together and throw in, share ideas and support each other. Like, media is tough. It's really, like, it can be absolutely ruthless. And I think watching everyone pull together and throw in ideas, the fact that we have people who, you know, writers who can do great Photoshop and video people who can also write, that's a rarity. Like,
yes, it really,
really,
is.
Really lucky. Yeah. And so, yeah, just watching them constantly try and do better every day of we can change this, we can, you know, get into this field, we can, you know, we can use Photoshop better here, or we can tweak this headline there, and it's constant learning. And I love that they're all on board for that.
Fabulous. Okay, well, thanks, guys. Thank you so much for your time today. It's excellent. And let's reconvene in 12 months
Definitely.
And do this again. Okay, thanks.
Thank
you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.